This is the Tonecast from Porter Pickups.
Well, hello and welcome to the Porter Pickups Tonecast number 6. Today we've got a special podcast because we're actually not having one but two different subjects. We're going to talk a little bit just about some of our favorite amps under $1,000, and then we're going to go on to our main topic this week, which is our wide range style pickups, and talk a little bit about the creation there, as well as just explain a little more in depth into how we make them and that sort of thing. So I'm Derek, and as always, I'm sitting across the table from Brian. How you doing, Brian?
I'm okay. Yeah. It's been a long day, but hey, we're recording the podcast, so I'm happy to be talking
Nothing
about
bad
gear.
Can happen now.
We've got the emails shut off. We've got we've got the phone silent. And
check the phone to make sure that it's silent.
As I put it, yeah. All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about amps first. So
I did want to mention too. I'm sorry to interrupt you,
go for it.
We did want to mention that if you go to the Tonecast page under the community tab on our website, you can submit questions, topic suggestions, things like that. Derek and I will be doing more frequent podcasts. Right now, we're, after the first of the year, we'll probably be doing a weekly podcast. So we're going to need some topic suggestions as well as just maybe interview suggestions. Hey, you guys should interview this person in the industry or we've got some cool ideas and some cool things coming up as well. So make sure to submit those through the website, on our Tonecast page at porterpickups.com.
Absolutely.
So we're gonna jump right into our first subject, which is the sub $1,000 amps category. We talked about the budget guitars and the expensive guitars in a couple episodes ago. And so naturally, kind of was thinking a little bit about the amp side of things and what is a good amp in different price ranges. And I didn't really want to go into an amp show.
Yeah.
But I figured we would talk a little bit about some of our favorite amps that are maybe under that $1,000 price point.
Yep.
As we're looking for stuff in the shop, we're always trying to find different flavors of amps. Stuff that, sounds good with different kinds of pickups, so different tube sets, different features and channels and things like that. And so really, we're living in this great time where there is a ton of amps in that price range, a ton of options and a ton of tonal palettes that you can really work with. So maybe what we'll do is we'll just have you kind of list some amps that you like that are in that price range.
For sure.
And then I'll maybe throw a couple out.
Totally. Well, I mean, the first one that comes to mind for me is the Fender Blues Jr. It's I think it's one of my favorite kind of production amps that Fender's making right now. And I think they only sell for like $600 or something new. I found a couple used I bought one used not too long ago for, I think, $350 or something for a friend. And yeah, they're solid amps, so I love those. And I own a Fender Hot Rod Deluxe that was really cool. It has a Celestion Vintage 30 in it or something like that, and it sounded really good, which is kind of a weird combination for Fender. But it's a little special green amp that I really like lugging around, and it's 40 watts, so it's got more than enough headroom to kind of stay clear and chimey. So yeah, those are probably two of my favorites under $1,000. I haven't played much with like the Vox or Marshall stuff that's under $1,000, but I hear good things about kind of the AC30s and stuff. But yeah, I like to stay Fender if I'm going to stay under $1,000 because they just seem to be pulling out some good stuff. I think you probably have a better idea of this category than me because you always seem to find the weird stuff that's awesome.
I find the weird stuff, but I do one of the things in my head was like the Hot Rod Deluxe. It gets a lot of, maybe like, well, the drive channel's not what I like, but I've always been a clean amp and pedals guy, and pedals are getting so good that you can really change the flavor of the pedal as opposed to the, having an amp that really does both things really well. There's not a ton of amps that do great overdrive, great cleans. And so if you have a good clean bass, I always like to start there. There is some good amps that are great. I mean, the Blues Junior sounds pretty good cranked up.
Yeah.
A lot of those amps that, you know, you can, there's some more modeling style amps that are getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, even like some of the Ignator stuff. And
yeah,
you can really, you can really dial in a lot of sounds for, you know, maybe $500 even. You know, there's even, there's just a ton of options. I think, yeah, you mentioned kind of the quirky stuff. You know, we've been able to get like old silver tones, and I've got the old Trainer, like 70s Trainer amp and stuff like that. You know, it's a couple $100 used, or, you know, maybe it's modified. Like in the case of some of the stuff that I have is modified. There's even like, I've got an old Red Knob Super 60s Fender tube amp from the 80s.
Yeah.
It weighs like 100 pounds. But it's got, you know, it's got 60 watts of clean tone, and it's pretty nice sounding.
Yeah.
So I kind of, in a way, I've almost like, there was a point where I was collecting more guitars. I was into like weird guitars and like finding like more stuff for the shop.
Yeah.
And now it's like transitioning to amps where I, where I'm like, part of this topic is like, you know, I put something out on my personal Facebook page.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, what do you think about these amps? And, you know, we got like 100 replies.
That was a pretty intense post.
It was intense. And so I was thinking maybe I'd get like 3 or 4 suggestions and I could go research, you know, hey, what about this or what about that? I mean, it was crazy. There was not like, there was more, a couple people suggested the same thing, but there really was like so many unique suggestions. And so I thought we would bring a little bit of that to the podcast. And it's interesting, like, when you get in people's opinions about the different amps, you know, some guys are like, man, I just love this Vox amp. And for me as like maybe a Fender clean guy, you know, the Vox might be a little too bright for my taste.
Totally.
But for them, like in the under 1,000 category, that's like the perfect amp for them. And so it's really cool. I've learned to like try to appreciate more amps that maybe I don't like initially and think, man, I, you know, cause I had a, I think my very first tube amp was a Blues Deluxe Fender. Do you remember those?
I do. Yeah.
Like Tweed
the Deluxe.
Blues Deluxe.
Yeah,
and they have a reissue now. And
so
I'm curious to try the reissue because I haven't, you know, it's been a long time since I played that. But I remember it being a really good amp.
Yeah.
And I traded it or sold it or something. And now I'm like wishing I had it again because it probably, you know, probably just blow my mind right now.
Isn't that the case with just all of the gear that you ever had?
Basically. Yeah. So what's cool, I think, too, is just, you know, we wanted to touch on this topic very, very quickly, but we would love some follow-up if people have suggestions of amps, and maybe we can start a discussion on our Tone Community Facebook page.
Totally.
Look on Facebook for that, you know, kind of continue that discussion there, because we're interested, you know, in everything pretty much. I mean, it's like I want to give all these different weird things a try, and we've got like 3 or 4, like, you know, hobby builder amps in the shop.
Yeah.
And we just sort of have, you know, maybe a non-traditional,
eclectic.
Yeah. Non-brand name. Yeah.
Well, what were you saying? Weren't you just saying this morning that you were at a local guitar shop somewhere and you saw some older vintage amp that you just loved?
Yeah. It was some, it was a, I think Echo was a brand or something. It was, I don't want to say the brand name now. Everyone's going to go look for it. But, it was kind of like all these old amps like have reverb and tremolo on them, and then they have a couple channels, and they, you know, they're old and they've got quirks, and but they just sound, some of them sound so fantastic.
Yeah,
you just plug them in, you're like, this is like unlike anything else that I've ever heard. And the nice thing is, you know, it's both good and bad, is that when you buy something like that, it's probably not going to work for a long time. It may need a cap job, it may need, you know, tubes, it may like start on fire. I mean, there's sort of like the risk that
you're
taking. The
chance you take, yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're going to get something like, we got the Silvertone 1483 in the shop, and that amp sounds fantastic.
It's solid.
You know, and we put P90s in front of it, and it's like, that's the winning combo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like that wouldn't necessarily be like our heavy hitter main shop demo amp. But for the right type of sound clip or the right customer demo that comes in to play it, it's perfect. So, you know, in that sense, like I would say like giving these different amps a shot, you know, when you try something out, like, well, I'm not like across the board, like I'm not a Vox guy or whatever, you know, maybe I should try more Vox amps and see if there's something that I like that's in that realm and give me a different voice than Fender. So
yeah. Well, yeah, if anyone out there's got an amp that we just got to try, anything. We like weird stuff. We like to hear about, you know, even just stock stuff, though, that you guys are buying that you absolutely have fallen in love with. Please go over to our Facebook page, and we can start up a discussion there. And also, if you want to go to the community tab on our website, you can submit comments there as well. That'd be awesome. Let's transition over to wide-range pickups. I'm excited about this one because we launched this line not too long ago, and it was a fun launch. I was excited that we had something in this realm. And I've always been a big fan of, you know, 72 Tele Deluxes and all that kind of stuff. But I know these days, you know, sometimes the newer ones, you know, don't have quite the vibe that the old ones had. And so we were really excited to kind of take on the wide range form factor. We'll probably, inside of that line, we've got our standard wide ranges, which are those kind of bigger humbucker sized. We've actually reduced the form factor a little bit to come out with a humbucker sized wide range that, you know, we're really excited about. And we'll also probably touch on our Jazzmaster sized wide ranges, which are meant to go in kind of the Jazzmaster form factor without having to make a new pick guard or something like that. So, Brian, maybe we can talk a little bit. You know, obviously, you were the one that formed this up, and maybe you can talk a little bit to the reason why you released it. Why were we considering developing this?
Yeah, so sometimes we, you know, the needs for a new model of pickup come up in different ways. You know, sometimes it's maybe we get, you know, in a month we get like 20 requests for, hey, do you guys make these? Do you guys make these? And so a lot of our pickups have come out of that. And so yeah. There was, you know, since we started, we got emails for wide ranges. You know, it wasn't really frequent necessarily, but we were getting them, you know, every month, every other month, we would get a couple emails about, hey, when are you guys going to do this? When are you guys going to do this? The challenge was, as we started looking into them, is the originals were, you know, sort of thought as like the standards in a sense. And to the point that we started coming out and developing our own take on them, we really decided that we wanted to really just do our own take, just to make something that was our own, less of a clone of the originals and more of what do we like about wide ranges. You know, obviously we needed to make something that fit in that platform because if people are looking to replace that, it's got to mount the same and all that. But again, it was kind of at that point where do I want to, you know, source the original magnets? Do I want to make sure everything's exactly the same, or am I okay with just kind of taking that platform and doing sort of what we wanted with it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the product we came out with, you know, really did showcase a lot of the things that were kind of unique to the originals, but at the same time definitely took on a life of its own, which I love. I just, you know, I think it's awesome to be able to kind of take that form factor and do something interesting with it, something maybe a little different. So, we kind of already touched on it a little bit, but obviously the originals are very hard to come by and kind of a very unique design and very unique, even down to the magnets and stuff, very different than what was out around the time. So why maybe didn't we go that direction? I guess. I think we already kind of touched on this a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, some of it is construction. You know, we decided that we wanted to make our own flat work in-house. We wanted to do a wide range that was more just Alnico rod magnet-based.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I wanted to do, since the covers were, you know, the big, fat, wide-range covers, I also wanted to create a pickup that was different than the wines that were in our humbuckers.
Sure.
And so with our wide ranges, we have a taller coil, and we have the Alnico 5 magnets, and we bevel the stagger, you know, so the offsets mm-hmm. are beveled, and the others are flat inside the bobbin. So it's basically like a very similar wine pattern to what we would put in a regular humbucker, with the only difference is that the bobbin's taller itself. And so it results in about a 25% overwind of what a regular humbucker would be. So you get kind of this big sounding pickup that like crosses the line between chimey and thick because of the overwind. You get the chimey from the rod magnets. You're almost kind of like essentially putting two single coil pickups right next to each other, but wiring them like a humbucker.
Yeah.
But you get the overwoundness when they're wired up as a humbucker. So it creates this big kind of versatile, big boomy bottom end to them.
Uh-huh.
And it's really like, again, you know, they probably don't sound like anything like the originals in that sense, but they are our own take on the design and they actually fit in this different realm. So when we made the humbucker size versions, they're actually the same amount of turns, same thickness, same size bobbins, everything. The bobbin overall dimensions, the outer part of the bobbin is smaller so we can fit them in the humbucker shell. But as far as the number of turns and everything, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So what's cool is that the tones are very similar. So when you, if you like the big wide range tone of our full size, it's going to sound the same as the humbucker size. And so it creates this cool kind of like symmetry between the two. They really are the same pickup, just kind of squashed down as opposed to like, you know, we didn't change any other design tweaks about it other than just the physical size of the bobbins.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really cool because it kind of it brought a new vibe to our humbucker line as well. It was really cool. I think for me, I've always been a little more of a single coil guy than a humbucker, but I'm not totally sure what it is about these, but these are kind of becoming one of my favorite humbuckers just because it does have that bite and that punch and dynamic that you feel like you should get from a single coil. But obviously just cranked to 11, you know, which I love them. So even if you're not in the market for wide range pickups, cause maybe you don't have a guitar with wide ranges in them, I think that the humbucker size ones are still a really valuable consideration, just cause they do bring something very different to the table than your standard.
And with those, like one of the things that's cool is, you know, if you go on our website and you look at the humbucker size version, we have a lot of customization options so they can have like the chrome border with a fiber board insert. We can actually do like wood inserts in the open top look and acrylic and things like that. And so they can actually be customized quite a bit and it's not going to change the sound. It's just going to change the visuals of them, which is kind of fun. So if you're looking, you know, to do a custom project, you can have that sound, but you can have a look too if you want it.
Absolutely. So what, you know, kind of thinking through the pickups and how they sound and stuff, what kind of guitars would you maybe throw this in?
Yeah, they work pretty well in almost anything you want to throw them in. They do really shine. We kind of have we have the Sublime Millennia guitar here in the shop. That's kind of a Les Paul style guitar, that mahogany bass guitar. They work pretty well. They have a nice snappy response, and so they work really well with the resonance of mahogany. They would also do pretty well to, like if you're putting them in like a thin line type guitar that's chambered, it's got the F hole, they would work pretty well to kind of beef up that guitar if you find that it's kind of thin and airy sounding, which some of them are. The WRH are great for that. Those two are probably the most common ways that people use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen them in hollows and we've seen them in, you know, other, you know, solid body type guitars, but those two are probably the most that we have more feedback, I guess, from those specific platforms.
Yeah. Well, maybe this would be a good moment to transition to a couple of different audio clips from the wide ranges and maybe some from the wide range humbuckers as well. So let's go ahead and give a listen to that. Here's a clean tone of our standard wide ranges in all three positions. Here's the same standard wide ranges again with a little dirt. here's a great clip of our humbucker-sized wide-range bridge. Well, while we're here and we're talking about the wide ranges, we got to talk about the Jazzmaster side wide ranges. Kind of maybe just walk us through, you know, it was a little bit after I think we launched the wide ranges that we decided to do this. Walk us through kind of what we were thinking.
Yeah, with that, we just kind of wanted to, you know, we've been getting requests for hum-canceling versions of all the different pickups that we make, anything single coil. You know, everyone wants a hum-canceling version. And so with the WRJMs, that was the goal, is kind of create that, you know, Allen & Co. rod pickup in the Jazzmaster case.
Yeah.
So the result was a little different maybe than what we initially thought. It wasn't really a big, boomy-sounding pickup. It's more in the actual, like, volume or strength or power range as a regular Jazzmaster pickup. It's just hum-canceling. So it still has that chiminess, it kind of the airy-sounding response, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's in that, it's in that casing. And so you're able to get that hum canceling. You're able to kind of have that vibe with it. We've experimented with some stuff coming up. Hopefully we maybe release a version 2 of it, just kind of to get some different flavors out of it. We're happy with what we've got, but we're always kind of looking at, what if we change this or that? And, you know, within that housing, one of our limitations was just the physical height of the coils. And a Jazzmaster guitar, the routes aren't very deep, so we couldn't take the coils as high as we wanted to. And
yeah,
so things like that where we're looking at these pickups and we're like, well, this is kind of what we're going for. And let's see what we get in the sense of our development. And, you know, it was a little surprising, to be honest, like the way that they came out.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but it was just like, we expected them just to be like a big boomy humbucker, and they weren't, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of cool because they do sit in their own sort of vibe, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, like, as we develop them, I think that people have found like they work pretty well in combining with a single coil JM in the neck and then one of those in the bridge or even now that there's so many different combinations, you know, people will throw those like with another style of pickup and just kind of give you more of a versatile range out of your Jazzmaster.
Totally. I love it because it's, you know, I mean, your options are pretty limited when you have a Jazzmaster. And for a long time, you know, I really like that I can get something hum-canceling. It stays in the vein of the Jazzmaster, which I always like, you know, that bright, powerful, punchy, fun guitar. But definitely very, very different from, I'd say, the original wide ranges, which was, I think, a surprise. So let's listen to it. Here's a clean tone from our wide range Jazzmaster pickups. Here's that bridge with a little more dirt. Well, Brian, why don't you let us know about some of the extras that people might find on the website? Maybe give a little clue into what our next one's going to be all about.
Yeah, definitely. So on the podcast extra, we'll have links to all the different wide range pages. So the full size WRH and WRJM. We'll have a link to a behind the tone video we did with the Sublime Millennia guitar. A little quick feature on the pickups themselves for the humbucker size wide ranges. Then you'll be able to, you know, from there, you'll be able to find all the product pages, any extra information. We'll also just encourage you guys again to find our Tone Community page on Facebook. We have a regular Facebook page. We also have the Tone Community, which is more interactive. Smaller number of people, but it's more of a group than it is a business page. So it allows us to, you know, share maybe more details and more like personal stuff that's coming up in the shop. So make sure to check that out. The link for the podcast will just be under the community tab. You look for Tonecast and you'll find that. You'll find the shows. If you're listening on iTunes, the shows will be on there, embedded in the site, so you can send me your friends. You can listen on there as well. Next show we have coming up, actually pretty excited about this, is we've got Hank from Rattlesnake Cable Company. So he'll be our guest for the for episode 7, which is kind of cool. We're getting closer to our 10th show, which is kind of a big deal, I guess.
We're so old.
We're growing up right before your eyes. So we'll have him on talking about his cables. He makes custom electric guitar cables. We'll talk a little bit about the industry. And he's also involved in some other things that are maybe interesting for guitar players. He's behind a couple different gear websites and things like that. So looking forward to talking to him about that. We've got a couple of the Rattlesnake cables in the shop. And it'll be good just to kind of get his thoughts, as a builder of another gear product and kind of have him on the show. And so we're looking forward to that. And that should be out just in a couple of weeks here.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And we look forward to bringing you another episode pretty shortly here. So have a wonderful week.